We consider the topic of our lesson this morning, it's a walking example. A walking example. So often there are people in the world that say, well, I'm an example. And that can be positive or negative. And there can be some who say that they're not. I don't know if anyone remembers the early 90s promotion that Charles Barkley did, where he said, I am not a role model. And because Charles Barkley was normally behaving badly, unfortunately for him, he was a role model and a role model to many. When we as Christians stand up for God and say that we're Christians and those in the community know it, whether we like it or not, we're going to be a walking example. Now, is that example going to be positive or negative? I encourage us to have a positive example in our communities. Our first point, we need to walk practicing truth. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4, we read, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The love of God is perfected in him that keeps his commandments. You know, some claim I'm a Christian, but they show no concern for keeping the commandments of God. We can't say and boast, I'm a Christian expecting the crown, without also having the cross. We look in John 14, 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, as well as John 15, 14. You are my friends if you do as I command you. We look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. We have people in the world that think that they are in control of what's going on. Now, I'd like to think that I know my house pretty well. And a couple of weeks ago, I found out how little I did know. It was dark in our bedroom, and I had forgotten Lisa had put the heater out. So I'm stumbling through the dark to get something that I needed, and bang! I'm like, oh, what is this? I turned and looked, and I saw that, turned the light on. Of course, I couldn't see anything in the dark. And see that I had tripped over the heater and cut my leg. So I get back out. Lisa's like, hey, what happened? Cut my leg on the heater. And she's like, oh, you should have turned the light on. Gee, thanks. Well, that's brilliant, let me tell you. And it would have been easier had I turned on the light. You know how easier is our life when we have the light turned on? When we don't walk around in darkness and sin, in the darkness of moral decay as our society envelops. But as we walk in the light of God's Word, we won't bang our shins on heaters left out in the dark. When we walk practicing truth, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. You know, some of our denominational friends will say all you need to do is hear and believe and you're done. This can't be the case because of James chapter 1 verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Matthew 7:24 says, everyone who hears these words of mine does them like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And we're going to get Chris back up here and he's going to sing, Wise Man Built His House on a Rock. So get that down. He could do it. He could do it, but we're not going to do it. I bet you could do really good at it. I did. He would sound really good. Got that nice baritone, some vibrato in there too. Well played. So when we do as God would have us to do, we are building our lives on a firm foundation. We are building the house of our lives on the best foundation that there can be built, that being on the Word of God. Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you. It makes me think about being a kid again. Anybody remember being a child and your parents say, clean your room? Keeley's over there, amen, I remember those days. And you didn't do it. And I know my parents would say, if you love me, why don't you do what I ask you to do? I'm like, but I sure love you, Mama. I love you, Daddy. But it's just words. If I was going to show them how much I love them, I would do what they ask. I would clean my room. Maybe if Lisa asked me to clean my room now, I would do it. But we consider doing what God would have us to do. If we're going to walk practicing the truth, we have to know what the truth is, what it is to practice, and the importance of doing so. Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. I don't know if many of you have been to the Brown Trail Church building there in Bedford, Texas, but it's got all these different sections of seating. And I happened to be visiting there, and they asked if I would be on the Lord's Supper, and I said, sure. And you walk in, and it's like a football play with how you're supposed to go. Like if you're in the orange side, you walk here, you walk up there, and you give to this little group of pews. And somebody said, JJ, you got it? I said, I played football. I can follow this. No X's and O's, but you got arrows and colors. I'm in. And I had mentioned that, and one of the guys said, I played football. One of the older fellows, and I was like, this is going to be good. I was like, brother, tell me what happened. He said, well, the coach is sitting there talking to us. And he said, Barker, it's fourth and one. We're on the goal line. We run 46 LRT. What do you do? He said, well, coach, I'd scoot further down the bench to get a good view. He said he actually got some playing time the next week. Don't know how that worked. But when we see that hearers of the law are, when we see it's not the hearers of the law that are justified, but it's the doers, we can understand that Christianity is not a spectator sport. We can't sit back and watch and or criticize how those who are active are doing. You know, we can fool each other, can't we? We can let people think, you know what, I'm a Christian. I act good when we're around each other. But we all can't be around each other 24 hours a day. Some people think that they can fool others, and they can. But we can't fool God. You know, we may look at someone and go, that's a good old boy. God is going to know if someone's a good old boy or if they're not a good old boy. When we are living the Christian life, we have to walk practicing the truth. And to have a more effective walk in practicing the truth, we've got to love practicing the truth. You know, we have some brethren that hate being Christians. And I know we're familiar with people that are this way. They show up and they're not happy about it. Constantly checking their watches, tapping their toes in the middle of the aisle, ready for services to get over so they can get back to their life. They can't do the things they want to do because they're Christians, but they hate doing the things that Christians do. Isn't that a miserable life? Let's love practicing the truth. In 2 John 6, and this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you've heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. We should delight daily in what is good and walking in His commandments, not looking for reasons to change things to how we like them. You know, some people will come into worship and say, oh, the singing. Sounds like cats in a room full of rocking chairs. We got to do something. You know, brother and sister so-and-so have real good voices. Well, why don't we put them in this pew up here? And let's put microphones on them. So that way people can figure out what part they should be singing. And if you're just sitting in the audience, it's going to sound so much better. If we love God and love His commandments, we aren't constantly going to be turning to Scripture to try to manipulate it for our own entertainment. If we are going to love practicing truth, that is what we're going to love, doing what God commanded us, no more and no less. We look in the first Psalm in verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. The 119th Psalm in verse 23. Even though princes sit plotting against me, Your servant will meditate on Your statutes. The 119th Psalm in verse 48. I will lift up my hands toward Your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on Your statutes. The 25th Psalm in verse 5. Lead me in Your truth and teach me, for You are the God of my salvation. For You I wait all day long. Bible study shouldn't be a chore. And when we do get to open the Word of God, it should be invigorating. It should be, I dare say, exciting. Except for the Chronicles. You don't read 1st and 2nd Chronicles. You study 1st and 2nd Chronicles. But you can still find great things from the books of the Chronicles. We look in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach His statutes and rules in Israel. That's a great approach to loving, practicing the truth. He set his heart to study it, set his heart to do it, what he had studied, and then set out to share what he had studied. Wouldn't that be great if that's what we as Christians were doing on a regular basis? We studied the law. We read it. We loved it. We acted upon it. And then shared what we've diligently studied. And what we can study from the Word of God is sharing with people the key to salvation as well as living the best life that there is to live. In Nehemiah chapter 8, in verse 1, and all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. They wanted to hear the word. They were excited to hear the word. They wanted to know what God was commanding of them. They wanted to hear it. And they wanted to do it. Remember, they had just come back. They were just come back from the exile. They wanted to do what God would have them to do. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So we tie this to our Christian walk. If we love the Word of God, if we love His statutes, if we love meditating on His Word, we will be prosperous, and that if we do what God commands us, we will spend an eternity with Him forever. I love that. When we act upon the Word, when we love the Word, our example, our positive example, can be made known. In 3 John 12, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I don't know your life. Only you are able to look into the mirror and see the see the inside of the person standing before you. And as I really muddied that sentence up, only you can know you and the person that looks in the mirror. That would have gone a lot better. Try to tie things up and just mess it up altogether. Paul said we can preach Jesus' life. Paul also said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Could Chris or me or the elders get in the pulpit and preach your life? Could we say this is an example that we should be following? If we can't, we need to strive for that goal, to be an example that will lead people to Christ. Titus chapter 2 and verse 7, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works in your teaching. Show integrity and dignity. Titus 2:15, declare these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. We look in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul writes to Timothy and says, set the believers an example in your speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. He was writing to Timothy because sometimes people don't like to listen to a younger person tell them to get right. And sometimes instead of hearing the message, they'll instead be angry with the messenger. And we see that of people of any age. And they'll say, why are you telling me this? You've got this that's going on. When we live as an example, when we declare these things, when we exhort and rebuke with Scripture, no one can honestly disregard us. 1 Peter 5:3, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Let's be examples. I want everyone to go to heaven. We should desire everyone to go to heaven. I was talking to Hal earlier this week, and I was talking about, you know, shepherds smelling like sheep. And one of the things Hal brought up is, you know, I like to think that we smell like sheep. Not literally, figuratively. And that excites me to know that there are elders out there who know their brethren so well that they can call them to work with them and to lead them by choice and not out of forcing them or domineering over them. John 13:15. For I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. We have the perfect example in Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. You know, it excites me to know that wherever I may be next week, Chris is going to be here. Chris is going to be preaching the truth. It excites me to know that up in Malvern, Arkansas, Brian Braswell is going to be there. And in his deep hound dog voice, he's going to be preaching the truth. And we can list so many other preachers to know that while we can't be there, they're going to preach the truth. There are going to be people that hear the truth. There are going to be members. They're going to be excited to live the Christian life and go into their communities to share the soul-saving gospel. Well, I'm not going to be here. I know that's what Chris is going to do. And from talking with Chris, I know he's going to go out and visit. He's going to have Bible studies. And how many brethren do we know that are going to do this? I know there are many that are doing this here. That's exciting. People that care about the example they have, the love they have for one another, and the readiness to share that example with a world that so desperately needs it. The conclusion of our lesson this morning, how can we be that positive walking example? We have to walk practicing the truth. If we're going to be a Christian, we have to know what the truth is so that we can practice it. And we've got to love God's commandments. We can't say, I'm a Christian and I hate it. I'm a Christian and this is no fun. I'm a Christian and these are the things I don't get to do. When we see God's commandments, our approach should be, I'm a Christian and these are the things I have the opportunity to do. I love the Christian life. I've lived the other life before. It's not fun. This life is. And the benefits are out of this world. We do right, and our positive example will be made known. Hal was telling me about a preacher that our brother Grady was telling us about a preacher that preached here in North Jefferson back when it was downtown. It was downtown, right? And that he had gone up to visit outside of Fort Smith, Arkansas. And when he came in, they said, he said, I'm from Mount Pleasant. I said, oh, do you know brother so-and-so? Because of his good example and his sound preaching. Let that be how we are, that people in the community know the truth is preached in love. At the North Jefferson congregation, that love is shared amongst the brethren, and that's a love that the world so desperately needs. And we can share a truth that can be the difference between an eternity in heaven and an eternity in hell. This morning, if you're not a Christian and you're not able to, you haven't joined in the fight, I encourage you to become one. There's no better life that you can live. If you've heard and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as John 3:16 states, you're ready to repent of your sins, as Luke 13:3 states, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, and being immersed into the watery grave of baptism to be saved, as 1 Peter 3:21 says, and to walk in a newness of life, as Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 state. I encourage you to become a Christian, but if you haven't been the example that you need to be, you don't have to come forward. You can change. And those around you will see it, but if you need the prayers of the congregation, there's no shame in saying, I want to be the best I can be. I want to do what I can to help the brethren here at North Jefferson. I want to be the best I can at reaching out. If you need prayers, don't hesitate to ask. If you're caught in sin, don't let embarrassment stop you from getting right with God. Do whatever it takes. If you need to come forward and let us pray for you, pray with you, and work with you, there's no shame in that. But this morning, do whatever it takes to be right with God as we stand and sing.